In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. Thank you so much for joining us. I am absolutely thrilled. My guest today is Tia Graham. And Tia Graham is the founder of Arrive at Happy. And I absolutely love her title, Certified Chief Happiness Officer. And I just want to welcome you to the show, Tia. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited for our conversation.
I am as well. Definitely already resonance with you. And I do have to just ask you here at first, like, tell me about your title, because that is like one of the most awesome titles I've heard.
Yes, thank you. So along my journey, so my background is in sales and marketing. I led sales and marketing teams for the hotel industry in the US and Europe. And I started my company, Arrive at Happy, in 2017 and have been educating myself with the science of happiness and neuroscience. I became a certified coach. And there's this company in Denmark called Woohoo Inc. And they've been doing happiness work with organizations for 2 decades. The Scandinavians are light years ahead when it comes to happiness and you know, happiness at work. And the founder, Alexander, I've just been following him on LinkedIn and social media. And he was announcing this program where you could become a certified chief happiness officer for happiness at work. And so I reached out, signed up, and in 2019, went over and spent a week in Copenhagen. There were 24 of us from, I think, 14 different countries, all, you know, basically becoming certified. And so what it is a understanding and knowledge and a framework for how CEOs, executives, leaders, managers, supervisors, anyone leading human beings, how they can increase the experienced happiness, the positive emotions that people feel while they're working. And so that's a big pillar of work that I do, is I teach leaders how to increase not only their happiness, but also the happiness of their employees. And so that's what that certification is. It's using positive psychology, but it's really around how you can have people feel happier while they're working.
I can only imagine the research and results that you have gotten about why this is such an effective thing, why this is so important in the workplace. Yes. And in our lives.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I can remember back in, I guess it was like 1999, when Marty Seligman, you know, did all
the research. I just heard him speak this weekend. Oh my gosh. Yes.
You know, and he changed as really, he's like the father of positive psychology, right?
Yes. And he's almost 80. It's incredible. The ripple effect. Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about you were just saying you saw him this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, so every single year, it paused a couple of years because of COVID, but there's an annual World Happiness Summit at the University of Miami. And I actually gave a talk there, but it's 3 days of positive psychologists and neuroscientists and business leaders and all of these people that are in the movement of bringing the science of happiness to the world, right? To business, to education, and then for individuals as well. So of course, you know, I've always heard about him. I've read so many of his books, and it was really surreal to hear him talk.
Yeah, I imagine he lives it. You know, he doesn't just know it.
Yeah. And he has such a, his perspective, because he's been studying happiness for over 30 years, you know, and he said, when I started, the only thing we were researching was really, really, really unhappy people, you know, as a group of psychologists, thousands of psychologists, you know, schizophrenia, depression, bipolar, which of course is that's some very vital research. But, and people told him, you know, you can't measure happiness. You can't research happiness. But of course, now we know you absolutely can.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that, you know, there really is something to that. It's like what we focus on expands. It's a principle in physics. So when we think about when psychology was just focusing on the symptoms of what was wrong, we were missing the mark in so many ways, because it's like, what cultivates resiliency and grit? You know, how do we cultivate courage or
and optimism and happiness, hope, like all these things that you can grow. Yeah. He was talking a lot about agency, human agency. And it was fascinating because he was saying he was going through these periods of time in history where humans believed that they had agency, that they could affect change in the world. And during those periods is when there was huge growth, both by thought, with business, in art. And then there were periods of life where the belief was everything is in God's hands and we don't have agency. And that's when there wasn't a lot of human advancement. So our belief, you know, affects the world. Of course, we were talking about environmentalism and all these different, you know, what the world needs. But just that piece, that knowing that we have impact, we all, you know, the 7 billion of us, we all have impact, and we can make the world, we can make our lives better and we can make the world better. So he gave a lot of hope.
Yes. Yeah. How wonderful. Well, and so how did I have to ask you, because you're very radiant and you just have this wonderful energy. And I'm really curious about your own journey. Mm-hmm. Were you always this bubbly, happy soul? Or tell me a little bit about your own happiness journey.
Yes. Yeah, so happiness is partly genetic. Some people are more, of course, it's a spectrum. So I definitely was born with a lot of happy genes, you know, as a kid, bubbly and happy-go-lucky. But like probably every other beautiful human being listening, I've had very challenging times and then also good times, you know, I say sort of the peaks and valleys of life. When I was an early adolescent, my parents went through a very difficult separation and divorce. And my dad was really unhappy for several years. And he, before this, was a very happy-go-lucky. He got a lot of happy genes too, I think. So it was pretty scary watching his happiness dwindle and his light getting smaller and smaller. But I saw him after a few years make the conscious choice. And he actually told me he was making this choice, that he's not going to have another bad year, that he's going to choose happiness. He's going to choose resilience. So I learned, I think age 12, that happiness is a choice. It takes work. It takes effort, but it's something you choose. Cause I saw my dad choose it. But I've gone through different periods of life where I felt lost and not inspired. And then I found myself again. And, but I always have, intentionally designed my life. Like when I'm going through periods of really unhappiness, I have this compass inside that I know what happiness and joy and contentment and purpose feels like. So when I'm going through really tough periods or low periods, I know, okay, I want to get back there. I don't want to stay here. You know, depending what's going on, it takes longer. But so, so in terms of my journey, basically I worked in the hotel industry. I grew up in Canada. I got really sick of the cold and my mom's American. So thankfully I didn't have to stay in the cold Canada. And I moved to the Hawaiian Islands when I was 20 years old and switched university degrees. And I started studying tourism. And so for 14 years, I led sales and marketing teams in the Hawaiian Islands. I was in New York City, in Istanbul, Turkey, and then in Los Angeles. And I say I was a happy workaholic. I loved my work. I got paid to travel and I lived in all these amazing places. And the catalyst to create Arrive at Happy was when I went back to work, I was the director of sales and marketing for this hotel in Los Angeles called the London West Hollywood. And I had a 2-year-old little girl, my older daughter named Mackenzie. And then I had my second daughter, Audrey. So I was back at work with a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old. And of course, was exhausted and stressed and overwhelmed and tired. And I had work guilt, mom guilt, marriage. I mean, just so much guilt. I was sad. I was really unhappy during this period. And I'd always had this idea to create a happiness company because people would ask me, how do I stay so happy? And so during this really low period, I actually hired a coach. One of my friends recommended a coach, and I started researching happiness for myself. And then that's how I discovered the science of happiness. And basically I've been on this journey and this quest, and then have created a company from it. But I sort of always had it within me. And the catalyst was, I say Audrey, I guess both my girls, but you know, it was that second baby that was like, okay, this executive career and everything I'm doing, it's too much and it's not fun. My life circumstances had changed so much. And I just felt like I was missing out so much on my daughter's lives by, you know, you spend a lot of time in hotels. So being a director of sales and marketing, you need to be there a lot. I was managing a big team. So that's how I got to creating Arrive at Happy.
Wow. What an amazing journey that you've been on, you know, and I think that's really true. I mean, sometimes people, when they witness people like you that are really happy and so optimistic and joyful, they're like, well, she's never had anything, you know, go wrong in her life. And it's like, we're all in this human experience.
Yes.
So nobody gets out of it unscathed. And yes, yet I love this thing, you know, this lesson that you learned from your father around happiness being a choice.
Yes.
Can you talk more about that?
Yes. Yes. So, you know, for several years, he, like, physically, emotionally, psychologically, he's not a very spiritual guy, but I'll say spiritually also, it was just, he was shrinking. And it was really terrifying because I remember, because he'd always been this bright, happy, go lucky, light, you know, fun guy. And I remember thinking, is this my new dad? Is this how he's going to be? Which, of course, was terrifying. And the separation and divorce were already enough, you know, rocking the world that I had known. And just the way he moved through life, everything was, I mean, I didn't know at the time, but I'm pretty sure he was depressed. I don't think I put that word when I was 11, like, my dad's depressed. I just remember thinking he's not happy. And so he told me, you know, one day, and actually it was on his birthday, he said, I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 bad years. I've had these, you know, 2 really, really bad years. And I woke up this morning and I decided I'm not going to have another bad year. And I saw, now that I know, because I know so much about the science of happiness, but he, you know, did these little rituals. So there was a few different songs that he would always play. I think it's, I forget the name of the artist, but the song is I Can See Clearly Now. And he would play that, like, I can see clear. I can just hear it. Yep. He would play that a lot. He would, you know, and before that, he definitely wasn't playing that. Spending more time with friends. And doing more fun activities with us. And he didn't hire, I mean, I know he didn't hire like a coach or a therapist or anything, but, you know, it was definitely a lot of mindset work that he was working on. And, so witnessing that and having him tell me that, you know, when I was living in Calgary, Alberta, and I was lost and I was uninspired and I didn't know what, you know, when I was sort of 18, 19, 20. And I remember, you know, sitting in my little ugly studio apartment, sitting down being like, okay, this is not good enough. Like, life has got to be better than this. And saying, okay, I need to change. I need to do something different so that I feel excited, so that I feel joyous, so that I feel alive, so that I'm moving forward, you know? And, that first big conscious choice of me choosing happiness was I went and did an internship on Hilton Head Island in South Carolina. And I was actually a counselor with kids and, you know, there's bottlenose dolphins. I mean, Hilton Head is so beautiful. And I did that for 3 months and I went back to Calgary. It's minus 30 degrees. And I'm like, okay, I'm still back here. This is not good. And so that's when I, you know, made the conscious decision and I actually applied and, you know, transferred to the University of Hawaii. But so sort of throughout life, when I've found myself in uninspired, I don't feel that vitality, that, you know, energy of, and I'm just in awe and I'm excited, you know, when I wake up in the morning, that's that compass inside that I'm connected to, that's, you know, I need to make changes, you know, and over the last, of course, over COVID, we've all been going through this. And, you know, now a lot of the challenges I'm facing are actually, it comes with parenting, excuse me. And so I look for resources and support and, you know, spirituality to help me, you know, but for everyone listening, you said it, there's no such thing as always being happy. There's no such thing. That is not the human experience. So there's a misconception and myth out there that there's some people that are always happy. I'm a happiness expert. And no, that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, I just think that is one of the essential messages. And so yes. If we feel some of those negative feelings, I think sometimes what can happen is people actually, they exacerbate their emotional negative state because they're mad that they're mad, or they're sad that they're sad, or they feel anxious about being anxious.
Yes. Yes. So there's two levels of suffering. And the first is, you know, something is, I mean, there's a horrific war happening right now, right? So are people feeling anxious for that? Yes, of course. Are fearful and all of these different, and I actually call them painful. It's the reframe for me has been not negative, but they're painful, because negative, you think it's bad, right? So they're painful, or maybe there's other unpleasant, but you know, a lot of cases they're painful. Then the second type of suffering is that you are angry or upset at yourself for feeling those. But that second one is actually our choice. So by just knowing that there are these two levels of suffering, and the first one is the human experience, and the second part is, instead of being mad or having the expectation, so much of our unhappiness comes from expectations, that we shouldn't feel that. We shouldn't feel anxious. We shouldn't feel angry. We shouldn't. No, you're a human. You should feel all of these. But then and why I'm really obsessed with the science of happiness is having healthy coping mechanisms, having healthy mindset tools, knowing how to move through those periods of your life where you are not coping with them in a negative way or not pushing them away and pretending they're not there. That's really, I think a transformation, and I'm a journeyer just like everyone else listening, of over time, and change is difficult over time. Having healthy ways to move through them, because humans are really, really resilient. We can get through a lot.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited. We need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to hear more about just some of the coping strategies that people can use. And then we'll be talking later about why happiness is so important as being a leader and in business. You know, like, why does happiness matter? So all that and much more when we return. So stay tuned.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee-skippy to that, baby.
Are you living life, or is life living you? The destination may not be clear when we seek change, but we trust we cannot stay where we are. Healing and transformation coach Trish Campbell strengthens the mind-body-spirit connection. Diane McClade generates positive change by shifting perspective through choice. Get connected and gain clarity on the Shift Podcast every first and third Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit invibe.ca for more info.
Introducing The Brilliant Black Man Show with Melissa Johnson. Tune in as Melissa shares the stories of successful black men across the country. This show is designed to change the narrative of how black men are portrayed in the world. The show will highlight their brilliance and how they are making a difference in their family, community, boardroom, and the world. For more information on the show, visit wildministriesllc.com.
Welcome back to The Spark. So thrilled to have you here with us. And, you know, I just am so taken by this conversation I'm having with Tia Graham, because it deals with something that I think drives so much of our behavior. It drives so much of media. It drives so much of our lives, is this kind of quest for happiness. Mm-hmm. And I think, Tia, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, too, as we got back is, what do you consider the definition of happiness? Because as we know, happiness is an emotion. It comes and goes. But what for you is your sense of that definition?
Yeah. So for me, actually, happiness is not an emotion. That there are, I mean, in the English language, there's probably 80 or so pleasant, feel good emotions that we love to feel. And I'll come to the definition. And then there's another 80 or so of those painful, unpleasant emotions. So when we feel happy is when we're feeling love, or we're feeling joy, or we're feeling serenity, or amusement when we're laughing, right? All these beautiful emotions. So for me, my personal definition is it's having a commitment to purpose and to joy. And it's also accepting the peaks and valleys of life. That's my own personal, and you know, it might change over time, but that's sort of what my guiding light, because everything I teach is based on the science of happiness and neuroscience. Positive psychologists, the definition is that there are these two forms of happiness. There's hedonic, which is pleasure, right? So when you're sitting with a glass of wine with a friend you haven't seen, and you know, of course, well, that also could be a little, you write something pleasurable, you're on vacation, have all of these things, which that's a part of it. But then there's also a eudaimic, which is the meaning and purpose. So that might be, you know, your career or raising children or the community work that you do. And then there's this third part, which is experiences. You know, you might, I don't know, go on a helicopter ride. It's not super pleasurable for you. You might actually be scared. It's not that it's full of meaning, but experiences actually make our lives really rich too. So from a scientific perspective, those are sort of the three, think of like a stool, like the pillars that support it. But, and also, you know, what I've learned over the last 5 years in constantly studying this is that a huge, huge piece of happiness is how we deal with our unhappiness, which is, I know, what we were talking about earlier, because there are healthy ways and unhealthy ways. And I sometimes don't deal with it in the best way, you know, as a fellow journeyer. But when you can, gosh, it makes your life a lot wiser, I guess, is the word that comes to mind.
Well, and more peaceful, I imagine, as well. You know, I think that's something that I find I talk to my clients a lot about, whether it's my coaching clients or, you know, my psychotherapy clients. This, you know, like, we have these, number one, lots of times external programs for happiness.
Yes.
So it's like happiness feels like it's something that we have to achieve or we have to get. And, you know, with you talking about happiness being a choice and the way that we deal with other emotions that come up, it's an internal process. You know, if we can move to that internal place.
Yeah.
And so it's not about being up here the whole time.
No.
You know, like, we always have to be with a big smile on our face and be very, very happy. It's actually in the way we are navigating life, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes. And really, to me, happiness, it's a verb. It is something that you do. I mean, we have anywhere between 30,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day, and we make something like 32,000 decisions a day, right? So from the one decision is the time, you know, what time you go to bed is a crucial decision to our happiness. Sleep and happiness is so connected. So the amazing thing is that we know actions and decisions that can increase those pleasant emotions, and then actions and the decisions that decrease it. And so just by having that knowledge, and over time, hopefully we all live to be very old, over time, you know, cultivating more and more of those habits that support those wonderful feelings, then, you know, that the baseline that you have will continually, your happiness baseline will continually grow. But yes, it is internal. No one can give this to you, you know, by a title or a house or a car, whatever, all of these things in life. It's coming from inside, the intention and the action.
So what do we do then when we find ourselves in one of those life situations where we're not feeling so happy? And we were talking before break, you know, about, okay, there's some strategies we can use, or there's some things when we find ourselves amidst these darker emotions, these some people might say, like, we're dealing with our shadow side, or
You're going through pain. Yes. Something
pain.
Is painful. Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, the first is, the more emotional granularity you have, that is a huge support tool. So there's wonderful, actually, Brené Brown's latest book called Atlas of the Heart that's a perfect example of, it's a book full of all of these different human emotions. So where, instead of, you know, you might say, I'm anxious, you know, you might actually be a little bit disappointed. You might also be languishing a little bit. That's Adam Grant's new TED Talk, you know, and you might be a little bit fearful, for example. So the more words we can put to these, and it's not just, you know, sad, angry, unhappy, right? So that's really, really key, and verbalizing it. The research shows that, and this is, you know, your work and obviously coaching work and therapists and everything, is when you're going through it, is to talk to someone, whether you hire someone or whether it's a friend or family member. These emotions are like water. You don't want to block them in behind a dam. They need to flow through you. You need to move through them. So talking with someone, also writing, journaling. So when you're going through this, even if you write 20 minutes a day for 3 days about what's going on in your physical body, your mind, your spirit, your soul, the thoughts, just continuously writing. Think about, that's another way that it's coming out. Also, there's this idea of unselfing. So when we're going through a lot of pain, is a lot of the things we do to be happy are things we do for ourselves, which is selfing. Okay. I learned this from Megan McDow, who's with the Whole Being Institute. Unselfing, there's two ways you can do this, is one is through human connection. So realizing and really connecting to, you are never alone. Like all 7 billion of us, we are connected every single day. So leaning into the people that can help you as you're going through this time, and then also you helping people. One of the best things you can do when you're going through pain is actually to help others, whether it's someone, a friend, family, charity, whatever, but just connecting to that giant web of humanity is very, very healthy when you're going through pain. And then also spirituality. So this is this, you know, piece of letting go, whether it's through prayer, through your religious practice, through meditation. But it's this releasing of, you know, I'm thinking something like one of the most horrible things that could probably happen to a human being is the loss of a loved one, you know? And so just, of course, you're going to be crying. You're going to be having this, all these flood of emotions, but that the human connection piece and spirituality are two ways to unself. And so there's a lot of others, but I'll share one other. Another really powerful tool is recognizing and listening to your thoughts. And so let's say you have just lost a job, right? Your thoughts might say something like, you are a loser. You are not going to be successful in life. You failed. And so that's this catastrophizing, right? So an event has happened and then you're projecting it. You know, you are never going to get a good job. No one's going to want to hire you. You seem like a loser to your wife or your husband. You're all of these thoughts, right? So if you can slow down, this is where meditation or just, you know, finding quiet time, journaling of what are my thoughts saying? And asking yourself, is this thought true? Because a lot of times they're not true. You know, our brain has a negativity bias and doesn't, you know, is so is it true? And right there, a lot of it's going to be like, no, are you unhirable for the rest of your life? That's a thought you're going to be having, but it's, you say, no, that's actually not a true thought. If there is a true thought, then it's okay. What can I do about it? You know, if it's, you know, you're in a financial crush, right? You know, okay, that's a true thought. Okay, what could I do about it? And then it's about action. And so the as if principle, which is really powerful, is if you're feeling this, Kate, like in this example, maybe like you've just lost a job and you're feeling like a loser, right? Your brain and everything is telling you, yeah, I am not successful right now. A lot of people wait for inspiration to then take action. And what Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar, he's the professor who taught happiness at Harvard for years. Now he has his own school and he just announces he's going to have a master's program in happiness studies. Anyway, Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar says it's action before inspiration. So when you're feeling, you know, you're going through this really challenging period, even if you don't feel fantastic, act like it. And what's going to happen is, you know, so you might, let's say you've lost a job, and action might look like, okay, I am going to go apply for 7 jobs today, even though I feel like a total loser. I'm going to, you know, share something on my LinkedIn. I'm going to make some phone calls to some people, some connections. And what's going to happen is your brain is going to see you taking this action and your brain is going to say, huh, she's feeling confident. Oh, she's not a loser. Look what she's doing. And you're going to get inspiration from that. So those are all research-based, healthy ways to move through it. But the last thing I'll say is, you know, it's not a sprint. Depending on what's going on, you do need to move through your pain. You don't want to, you know, if you lose someone, it's not like, oh, the next day you're expected. No, of course, you need to take time to process and be still and move through it with the time that you need.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, the important piece, like you can acknowledge how you feel, you can feel it, and you're watching what are those messages coming through our thoughts.
Yes.
You know, so that we're not getting attached to those as our big T truth.
Yes. Yes. Because we think our thoughts are reality. Right.
Yeah. And they're just thoughts. Exactly.
Just thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. So many awesome, amazing. Yeah. Just suggestions, golden nuggets. I love all these different ways that we can realize. I love the nuancing too. You were talking about in Brené Brown's book.
Yes.
You know, yes. That instead of just making this blank statement, just like I can remember, this is way back when I worked for the mental health center, probably in 95, but where we would have these thermometers and then we'd have the clients fill it in, you know, so it wasn't just I'm happy or I feel rage.
Right.
It's all the little nuances in between feeling aggravated or frustrated or then moving to angry or furious. And I mean, there's all these different variations.
Yes. Yeah. And also just how we show up for others, because the number one predictor of happiness is human connection.
Love that.
So, you know, even just knowing how do I show up compassionate and what does empathy look like? Because those are very different. And how, you know, so and I can't help but think of the Dalai Lama also when it comes to happiness, of, you know, he says so much of a human suffering comes from thinking too much about ourselves. So there's those thoughts again, right? If we can turn our attention out and think about others, just by doing a little bit more of that, even if it's your sister or a neighbor, your kid, you know, whoever it is, just by doing that, then we can move away a little bit from the monkey brain that's always telling us all of these crazy thoughts, which sometimes you wish you could just turn off.
right. Well, and I remember as we were talking about Marty Seligman earlier, I remember something from, I'm not remembering. It wasn't his happiness book. It was one of the ones before that, but he was talking about joy boosters. Mm-hmm. And one of those being exactly what you're talking about, it's writing a letter to someone else.
Yes.
That you feel like deep gratitude for, like they've
right, like you appreciation.
Special. Yeah, this deep appreciation. And then I love like actually going to that person if you can, or now it's beautiful. We have Zoom and we can really connect on Zoom, but reading the letter to that person and how powerful, what a gift that is, which benefits both people. I think
so
he was
much.
Saying like the hit was like 3 months. Of just elevated.
Yes. Joy. That's a good reminder. I did one actually for my dad a few years ago, and I haven't done one of those recently. So that's a really good reminder. And such a simple, so such a fulfilling thing. There was one speaker at the summit. It was really interesting because my husband and I are celebrating our 10-year anniversary next month. And we have two little kids. Of course, life is busy, you know, and we love each other deeply, but also we do take each other for granted. I mean, we've been together 15 years, right? So, and it was really interesting. He was saying, this is Dr. Fred Ludskin from Stanford. He was saying about it reminds me of what you just said. He said with the person that's closest to you, he goes, every day they're doing so many acts of kindness for you. Mm. And the longer you're together, you notice those less. Your brain actually doesn't notice them. They know you notice what they're not doing. And so that really had me reflecting on, like as my husband, Jim, he does so many, and how can I go back? You know, the first 2 years you notice everything that, you know, your new love, you're in this honeymoon phase, but just by that attention, you know, just like the appreciation letter of like bringing attention to what the people in your life are to you and give to you and do for you, is really, really powerful.
It is. I love hearing that. I love hearing your intention, you know, to notice and to start giving that attention, because I do know our brains automate our partners.
Yes.
And then they just because it makes it easier. We don't have to think that hard. Our brain's always automating things for us. So it doesn't take us, 20 minutes to remember how to tie our shoes.
Right.
And just, I've seen relationships seriously change when the homework given was just to appreciate, have three appreciations before you go to bed.
Yes.
Of each other.
Yes.
And literally people coming back a week later and just being so blown away because they were no longer attuned.
Yes.
To noticing that. So what a beautiful
thing. Goosebumps. Yes. And you think of all, yeah, absolutely. Because there is that love is there, but with all of life's challenges that are thrown at you. And yeah, it's unfortunate. The people we love the most is who we, I don't know if take out on is the right, you might have a better phrase for it, but they get the brunt of, the challenges and the rough sides of us. And they're the ones that are the best to us.
Right. Right. So a simple act, like you're saying, of starting to tune in again.
Yes.
And attune to our partners. And just like the choice for happiness, we can make the choice to tune in to one another.
Yeah. And I can't help but thinking you need some physical reminders, like a post-it in the bathroom, something on the fridge. Just like, what's my family doing for me today? Or,
That's so beautiful. And yeah. I love your secondary part too, of what can we do for one another? Because we know that does really pull us out of our own funk, our own, whatever the drama is or the story is that we're playing in our own minds.
Yeah.
So just so many good things here. I love this. We're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be circling around to this question of how does happiness serve us at work? I mean, we know how it helps us in our own lives, and yet so many people go to a work that maybe they're dispassionate about. And so when we return, we're going to be talking with Tia Graham about how do we create just more happiness at work? Why does happiness make a difference at work? And what makes a leader more effective when they are happy? All this and more when we return. Stay tuned.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Tune in to the Sacred Attunement Show with Asher Countryman, unlocking the power of mind, body, soul abundance. Tune in every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Asher as she guides you to sacred attunement. Align your mindset and your actions to master your life's purpose. Discover more at SacredAttunement.com.
Life can be demanding, and you may feel like you're constantly on the go, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to transformationtalkradio.com or visit Susan's website at susandolce.com.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm Stephanie James here with Tia Graham, and we are having this just awesome conversation talking all about happiness and really the depth of happiness and the importance of happiness in our lives, not just as a fleeting emotion, but more as a state of being. I'm really hearing that. Mm-hmm. And that we can, I love too, that we can increase our baseline for happiness. I really noticed when you said that earlier, we're not stuck. Right. If we wake up and we're like, oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's not just genetic. It's you're not predisposed. You're partly predisposed, but then there's a lot within your control.
Yeah. Yeah. So empowering. Yes. Well, let's get to this. You know, this so much of your work. I know you work with tons of corporations and organizations and teaching about the importance of being a happy leader and what happiness adds to the workplace. Talk about that. Tell us more about that.
Yes. So, as I mentioned earlier, I led teams in the hotel industry for 14 years, and I became a leader of humans at a very young age, 26 years old. I was like thrown in, and all of a sudden I'm a boss of people. I had no idea what I was doing. And along the way, of course, I learned so much, and I had some incredibly inspiring motivational leaders. And I also had extremely toxic negative leaders. And so a big inspiration for my company and also my new book called Be a Happy Leader was because I know, and the research shows that 2/3 of leaders are disengaged in the United States. It's a lot of unhappiness trickling down, you know, corporate America. So that was one big motivation. And then also, all of the research, you know, from the science of happiness to neuroscience, coaching, what I learned over in Denmark, I was like, okay, people need to know this information. And so there is a tremendous amount of research, and more is coming out every single day, that shows the impact that happiness has at work. So huge levers where there's big bodies of research behind it is when people are happy while they're working, they're more productive. So they get more done while they're working. They're more creative and innovative. So this is the work of Dr. Barbara Fredrickson. It's the broaden and build theory. So we literally see more possibilities, more options. Our brains are wider, and we have this zoomed out lens. Mm. And of course, in business, creativity and innovation is vital to stay alive because the world's changing so fast. So happiness is connected to creativity. It's also connected to sales and business growth. So this is Sean Acor's research from Harvard that when salespeople are feeling positive, they will sell up to 37% more than someone who's feeling neutral or negative. So it drives revenue. Happy employees who, you know, are working and they have an engaged boss are going to not only be more productive and motivated, but they're going to stay. So everyone's been talking about the great resignation. You know, you don't leave companies, you leave people. So it directly ties into the bottom line because turnover is extremely expensive for companies, recruiting, hiring, training, all of it. And so just that retention piece. And then also when people are happy at work, people that are in customer service, not only sales, but taking people that directly interact with customers, then that transfers into customer happiness and customer loyalty, which then drives revenue. So, you know, when I am talking to organizations about Arrive at Happy, I say, I help your business grow. You know, we are going to grow the revenue. We are going to grow the profit. We're going to do it with this vehicle of happiness. But that's really what it does. And, you know, I'm a sales and marketing person, so I'm very much as passionate about growing business, you know, as I am about the happiness piece. And so from a leadership perspective, many, many, I don't know the exact percentage, but the majority of leaders, whether you're a supervisor or, you know, a CEO, the majority of leaders around the globe have not been taught the research-based methods on how to increase experienced happiness while working. That is a model, you know, that there's a new class at Harvard University called positive leadership. It's new. This class is not, you know, so that's, it's like Harvard, you think is leading that. That's a new class. Arthur Brooks is teaching that. So it's coming, but, it's a shift, right? And there's still a lot of people out there that believe happiness doesn't belong in the work. You know, happiness is what you do on the weekend. Work is work. So it's also this shift of mindset, but thankfully the younger generations and, people have had this chance. It's just been this great reset of, do I want to work for this toxic boss? Do I want to work 80 hours a week? No, you know, life is short. I've seen that with the pandemic. So it's that's a silver lining that it has forced organizations to look at the whole area of human well-being and how does work play a part into human well-being?
Beautiful. Yes. I mean, and we can all think about that for ourselves when we've had, like you were saying, toxic bosses, or, you know, I think people that made us feel like work just needed to be work.
Yeah.
And wow. And it is, it's, it closes the system down. It's like, it closes down people's energy system.
Yes. Yes.
And it's amazing to me. And when you have someone that's leading an organization who's positive and, you know, and then they're lifting you up, and then yes, and it creates that environment where other people are also, it's like everyone starts thriving. It's like the whole place starts vibrating at this different level.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's research that shows like, yeah, it connects to how engaged people are, their vitality, and that actually they can reach their full, they can achieve their full potential while working. Right. So if you have an unhappy leader, there's a stifling that's happening. People are not reaching their full potential, which then of course affects the organization, you know? So, but of course leadership is difficult. And I think when you were talking, another thing came to mind is people feeling burnt out, you know, that might not even be the boss. That could just be how much you're working. Maybe you're not taking care of yourself, but being really burnt out or being chronically stressed, can, you might have a great boss, but if you're not sleeping enough and you're not exercising, you know, so that self-care piece is also really important because you need to have the energy to then, you know, be creative, be productive and all of that. But we definitely have a culture of overwork, which is challenging for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want you to hold up your book again, Tia, because I want everybody to be able to-
It's brand new. Just came out. It's a bestseller on Amazon.
Yay!
Yes. So in here, I have the 8 steps to be a happy leader. I share a lot of personal stories. It's full of research. You can get it anywhere you buy books, but I'm hoping it reaches as many leaders around the globe as possible.
Oh, fantastic. Oh my gosh. Well, I am so thrilled that we've had this time together. And I mean, I could just keep talking to you for hours. This is such an awesome topic, and you have just are such a light. I'm curious, if you had to leave the audience with an essential message that you want them to take with them, what would that be?
Oh, the essential message I want to leave everyone with is that every day when you wake up, remember that you are mortal. Remember that tomorrow's not a given, that just waking up and breathing is such a miracle, and give yourself permission to be a human being. You know, that's the ups and downs, but just that's been key in my life, is being very aware that life is extremely precious. So that's the message I'll leave people with.
Beautiful. Tia Graham, where can people get a hold of you?
Yeah. So, all my website has everything. It's arriveathappy.com. Also, my Instagram is Arrive at Happy. And I also have a weekly YouTube channel, LinkedIn, of course, Facebook. I just started TikTok. Everyone's like, Tia, you got to get on TikTok. I'm like, okay, fine. So I'll spread happiness on TikTok. I'm like, oh, another social media channel. But yeah, those are the main ways. And my book and everything is on arriveathappy.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of the Spark.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.